Joining us now in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair, he's a Republican Party candidate for state comptroller. He's run for political office before, Mark Greenberg. Mark, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning and thank you for having me.
Good morning, Mark. So, what are you doing to get elected?
Well, I'm talking to people on the radio like you, and I'm going to Republican town committees, sending in op-eds and doing whatever I can to try to make this state great again. You know, I'm 62 years old, and I remember when we were the envy of not only the Northeast, but the whole country. And frankly, it's sad what's happened, and I'm determined to make it great again.
You know, Mark, before we get into this, we were talking earlier about animal rescue and all that you've done. Do you still have the place in Bloomfield where you rescued dogs?
Oh, sure. It's called the Simon, I'm making a pitch, of course. It's called the Simon Foundation, www.thesimonfoundation.org, and we've saved over 4,000 or 5,000 animals over the last 10 years. It's a love of my wife's and mine, and we still have it. It's still thriving, and it's in Bloomfield, Connecticut.
All right.
You know, we're having trouble, Mark, understanding you. What kind of a phone have you got? What kind of a phone are you using?
I'm using a BlackBerry. Turn it off of Bluetooth. Maybe that will help.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be better from a quality standpoint.
How's that?
Much better.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Mark, what do you think of what's going on? From a perspective, if you were the state comptroller and you are running for that office, what do you think about what's going on with the budget?
Well, what's not to think? It's 112 days without a budget. It just points out the dysfunction in Hartford. We're now the only state to not have a budget. And, of course, the problem is that these folks in Hartford have to deal with the real issues of the fact that we can't afford the mission of government that we have now. The spending is estimated to be $20 billion each year, and we really can't spend more than $17 billion if we're going to be competitive with our neighbors. You know, comparing us to Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New York, we have to reduce spending, change the mission of government, and come up with a more reliable methodology of collecting taxes.
Do you think that the current makeup of the state legislature can accomplish that?
Well, you know, they're working very hard for a bipartisan budget right now. They're going to take a vote on it this week. There are some very, very good features in that. I'll give you two. Number one, they're going to be eliminating the estate tax, and they're also going to be hopefully eliminating the car tax. We used to be a great state for, frankly, wealthy folks who would bring a lot of businesses and jobs to this state. And if we eliminate the estate tax, we'll make it more attractive for folks to stay. I mean, I'll tell you a little story. When I had my own estate meeting with my advisors about 6 months ago, the first thing that they asked me is, Mark, can you move out of the state? I said, what are you kidding me? I'm running for comptroller. No way. And I love this state. But the problem is that folks are moving out of the state because of the estate tax and the fact that this is a high tax state.
That's a big story, by the way, because we're getting drips and drabs about what's happening with the budget, including the fact the car tax actually this year, the first year, would go up 2 mils to 39 mils and then would be eliminated in the second year. I'll believe that when I see it. But you're also saying under this plan that the estate tax would be eliminated?
Eliminated. That's correct. Not even an issue of the threshold change. It would be eliminated. That would be major.
That's definite. That is definite.
Well, nothing's definite, you know, until it's voted on and Governor Malloy signs it or the folks in the legislature have a veto-proof majority. But, and this is very, very much in flux, but it's definite as of now.
Wow, that's a big story.
Boy, sure
really is.
This is what's happened. There are finally folks waking up to the fact that we're in terrible shape. But people like you and me, Dan and Brad, we remember when this was a great, great state. It wasn't that long ago. In my mind, it started to deteriorate with the income tax. I think that was a bad idea.
Oh,
we used to be distinguished. We could be distinguished from New York and Rhode Island and our neighbors. But now we can't, and our marginal rates have gone up. I mean, I remember when we were great, Massachusetts was called Taxachusetts. But in 20 years, they've turned that state around.
Yep.
Why can't we turn around this state?
Hey, like I always say, make Connecticut great again, Mark.
Well, I did say that in a prior interview. I think it was with you.
All right, hold on a second. We want to get to the pension aspect of it. I know, Brad, we've got a traffic update we want to get to and a couple of other things, and then we'll be back with Mark Greenberg. And we are back on Brad and Dan. Brad, and in our Touch Points Rehab interview chair is Mark Greenberg. He is running for state comptroller, and he is seeking the Republican Party nomination for state comptroller. And Mark, we, I know, are interested in what you might do in the area of pensions, return on pensions, or, you know, how do we solve this problem in Connecticut? Because that's a big part of our budget, our pension liabilities.
Yeah, the pension is a big problem. Each one of us who's a resident of Connecticut owes over $10,000 in terms of the deficiency that we have based upon the actuarial numbers. We're second worst in this country on unfunded pension liability. So it's a real huge problem. And what I've suggested is that we buy out some of these pension obligations by cash payments. Discounted payoff, basically, we call it in business. And we'd be paying a small portion of the actuarial obligation in cash. Now we can borrow for a low interest rate, so it makes an awful lot of sense at this point in time. Plus the fact a lot of people, I believe, who are pensioners would want to have that cash payment now.
How does that work?
Well, you'd calculate what that person would have in terms of a remaining life and that person's spouse. You'd be able to determine the health of that person, and you make an offer based upon a much smaller amount than that person would be getting. Let's say, for instance, that person and his wife had an actuarial return or receipt from the state of $1.5 million. We would offer that person $300,000 or $250,000 or $400,000 in cash now to give up all those rights for those pensions going forward. That would put a dent in the unfunded liability. Of course, we'd be paying present cash, but we'd be saving a lot of money over the term of that pensioner.
Well, that's interesting. How do you think you could sell it to the unions? Would you be able to?
Well, it would be completely voluntary, and I don't see any downside for either the person or the state. We wouldn't be forcing them to do anything. If they want it, they take it. If they don't, they don't.
What sets you apart from the current occupant of the state comptroller's office who has announced his reelection bid?
Yeah, well, what sets me apart is that I've had 40 years in business. I know how to create budgets. I know how to cut costs, create efficiencies. Of course, I'm not a career politician. I'm a businessman, but I have a great love for the state. So I'm going to be doing things that we need for the state without regard for reelection. If I decide to go for re-election, fine, but my most important object will be to fix the state and to make it great again the way I remember it.
You know, one thing that, and I've lived here all my life, one thing that really bothers me, I don't see how we get into the positions that we get into. And it just seems that some of the folks that are elected, all they want to do is satisfy people so they can get reelected. Nobody wants to sit down and say, look, this is what we've got. We can't spend what we're spending. We've got to stop that, and we've got to start cutting so that we can have a great state again. Why isn't there somebody that wants to run for office that says this?
Well, because we are lacking guts, unfortunately, with people who run for office, and once they get into office, they love the job. That's really unfortunate. I know that a lot of the gubernatorial candidates are not outspoken about what we have to do about fixing the state. Post-counting votes, and that's one of the unfortunate parts of our system, I guess. I don't care. Look, I want to get it because without getting elected, I can't fix it. But you have to be honest in your mission and your principles. And you hope that the people wake up. I think the people in the state are waking up. I really do. There's not a person on the street who doesn't know the dire situation of Connecticut. Unfortunately, half the people don't remember how great it used to be the way you and I do, Brad. But people are waking up in this state. And we're going to become great again. I always say it's darkest before the dawn. We're going to have a great, great a reemergence in this state. Trust me on that.
Well, you know, I'm happy to hear your optimism, Mark, but all I see are this state losing jobs on a monthly basis. I read two economists, Don Klepper-Smith and Peter Gioia, both saying he thinks we're going to go into another recession before we recover all of the jobs lost in the last recession. You don't agree with that?
No, I think that we're going to be on the upswing. UTC is very strong. Pratt & Whitney has 15 years of backlogs. We are going to be on the upswing. We're a great state to be in. We have natural amenities that no other state has. We're between Boston and New York. We have four beautiful seasons. All the reasons why you and I love it in this state will make this state great again. So I don't listen to those economists. I think that we can be great again if our legislators in Hartford adopt the right policies. With the right policies, people will be coming back. They won't be leaving.
And those right policies include addressing this pension issue, dealing with taxes, those areas?
Yeah, the pension issue. But also, remember, the entire methodology for collecting taxes has to be changed. We're constantly coming up with a methodology where we're deficient, because the income taxes do not meet projections. We do our projections based upon static data, not dynamic data. So we have to change the way we collect taxes. We have to completely change the business. And, if I'm elected, I'm going to be a opponent for doing exactly that.
Now, the current occupant is pushed and actually got signed into law this state, essentially statewide Social Security type plan, where you have to opt out of contributing to a personal savings account, if you will. What do you think about that?
Well, again, the mission of government is too great in this state. We have to start thinking about what we did 20, 30 years ago, where we took care of the highways, the bridges, the infrastructure, which is very, very important to the state. But we can't do everything for everybody. And we can't do that which gets us votes. We have to do what's right for the state. I'm a proponent of doing the least possible, but keeping our infrastructure in good shape and keeping this place a great place to live and to work.
What was your motivation to run?
I sound like a broken record. Make the state great again. Make the state great again. I'm sorry, but I remember when it was that way, and my motivation to run is to make it the way I remember it. This is the greatest place to live, to work. The four seasons, the mountains, everything is great about this place. I love it. So I want it to be great again. I want it to have great opportunities for my five children, for my Simon Foundation. There's the plug again. I want my kids to stay here. I don't want to hear about how they're staying in Boston College or Boston or New York. I want them to stay in the state. And that's my motivation, to do what's right.
And you're a New Yorker, right?
Well, yes and no. I started in New York in business, but then moved 30, 40 years ago up here. So, and my parents had a summer camp since 1947. So I'm not really a New Yorker. I'm sort of a Connecticut resident.
Well,
born and bred.
Oh, that's great. Now, Mark, before we let you go, I want to go back to what you said earlier in the interview, because this is key. I don't know because I haven't heard it in any other area. I don't know if you've had the opportunity, maybe you're privy to what's included in this state budget plan, but what you're saying is under the state budget that's being negotiated now between Republicans and Democrats, the estate tax would be eliminated. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Wow. Well, boy, I tell you, I hope you're right.
Yeah, that's good.
I hope you're right, because there's other stories floating around out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I certainly hope I'm right. I certainly hope it makes into law, but that is a very, very important step toward telling the world that we're open for business, we're going to become competitive again, and that the wealthy individuals who create jobs in the state shouldn't go down to Florida or the other states that have more favorable estate taxes or lack of estate taxes.
Mark, thank you for being with us this morning.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the talk.
And we'll talk real soon.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Anytime. Thank you very much.
Take care, Mark.
You bet.
Bye.
Bye.